he's doing. I'm just sharing. Words which see in my, this is my Tim talk, check. Just Tim talk before we get into the sermon. Listen, last night, when the brother was meeting in our man's Bible study, which is the Saturday before every third Sunday, we talked about pride. And how often, because of man's pride especially, God has to confront men indirectly. Because of our pride, we often are defensive. So God, rather than speaking, rather than accepting what God says to us, or anyone speaking on behalf of God, says to us directly, he had to go indirectly in order to get around our defenses. We looked at that in the life of David, when David had messed up and sinned, and because of his pride, he tried to hide it. And God, when he sent the prophet Nathan, notice what Nathan did. Nathan didn't really speak directly to David's sin. He spoke indirectly.
Right.
And started talking to David about that man that had that little sheep, that little lamb.
Right.
That he had raised from when he was a baby lamb.
Right.
That he like was a pet and he was dearly beloved. And the other guy, who was a rich guy, who had all round the lamb that he needed. And a neighbor came by and he wanted to cook up something. So rather than cooking up his own lamb, he went over and took that poor man's lamb that had just one lamb. He fixed that for his visitors. And David heard that story. And David got upset. He said, I can't believe it. Tell me who did such a horrible thing. And Nathan said, David, you the man. Sometimes God talks to us indirectly.
Yes, sir.
Well, the same thing happens to us preachers too. Sometimes, you know, you working on something. Preach to other folk.
Amen.
And he said, all right, you got to get it together and preach to other folk. And you're going off into it. And then, all of a sudden, you realize that part of the sermon you work on is for you.
Yes, sir. Right.
He said, wow. And he just convicted and messed up. Man, I feel like David sometimes. Well, part of the time I'm preaching, they will be like that. Amen. And if you know me well, you'll know what part it is. But just in case some of you that don't know me that well, it's going to be in the early part. The first 5 or 10 minutes. So, as I'm sharing with you, don't think I got it all together. I'm just sharing, and some things I got to work on, too. So let me get started. The title of our sermon today is God's Love Language. God's Love Language. There's a guy by the name of Gary Chapman. He wrote a book, I think it was mainly for couples, called The 5 Love Languages. Book he wrote about 1995. Amen. I read it, probably probably right after it came out in 1895. It was an amazing book. And what he was saying is, like, imagine if you were trying to talk to somebody that was Japanese, and all they understood was Japanese. Amen. And you're talking English with the Ebonic dialect. And both of y'all are saying things, but neither one of y'all understand one another. So even though you may be saying something important to him, or he may be saying something important to you, you're not getting an understanding because you don't know what the other person is saying. But what Gary Chapman says is we have love languages. Five love languages that work like that. And sometimes, in a couple situation, or especially in a marital situation, you can love your spouse, but if you don't speak their love language, they won't think you love.
Y'all with me so far?
Yes, sir. Yes.
You're probably speaking. Usually we speak the love language that our love language to them. But it's not their love language. We love them how we like to be loved. Not how they like to be loved.
This is not only for spouses now, if you're single in here. This is for parents and children.
They have love language, parents and children, and friends, and even singles in the dating process. Cool. Everybody has a love language.
All right. Amen. Let me share with you some of his five love languages. And you can kind of get a hint where I'm coming from as we move towards what's God's love language. Well, number one, he said, one of the love languages is words of affirmation. Words that build people up.
Words of affirmation. Words of encouragement that you speak that builds somebody up when they've had difficult times. Or let them know how much the gift that God and the thing that God has given them means to you or means to the world. They are words that affirm their worth, their value, how much they're words of affirmation. That's one of them. Second love language is gifts. A gift says, he or she was thinking about me. Look what they got me. Amen. That's some people's gift love language. Number three, acts of service. Doing something for them that you know they would like. Maybe it's washing the car, washing dishes, vacuuming, cooking, doing something. I'm not just saying it's a wise husband, sometimes husband or woman. Doing something for them that they would like. That's an act of serving them. It's good, always good, whether this is your love language or not, to try to outserve your spouse. Number four is quality time. Giving your spouse your undivided attention. Notice the word undivided. giving your spouse your undivided attention. Which means you can't be watching television, you can't be watching the game. They got to have your total undivided attention. And last is physical touch. Holding hands, hugging, kissing, sexual intercourse. Don't skip to that last one.
And listen, listen, don't skip to that last one. And don't do the first one to get to the last one. Sometimes it has to be, you got to do the first one. Even if you're not going to get there, you got to do the first one more than you can do the last one.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to throw that in. So, you need to find out, her husband need to find out what their spouses or wives need to find out what their spouses' love language is so you can love them in their language.
Right.
Parents need to know what their child love language is so you can love your child in your child love language. Anybody, amen, if you just know people's love language, you can love them in their language. Because you can love them, but if you don't love them in their language, they're not going to feel the love you have.
All right.
Listen. I kind of know my wife's kind of top two love languages. So when I was praying for this sermon, oh Lord, what an incredibly patient wife you have given. Because sometimes I'm silent for long periods of time and for speaking her love. And if you would have asked God, you know, he's been kind of sharing this area with me. You would ask the Father, say, how does a pastor win do on the love language test? How is pastor doing in the love language class? The Father would say, you know, I love Tim. That's my boy. I love him. But he's doing like I do sometimes in secret. But looking at his daily grades, unless he begins to reorder his priorities and come to me where I can help him straighten some things out and enable him to speak your love language. I love him. I'm going to always love him throughout eternity. He's my boy. But unless he can do that, he will have to repeat this class again. I'm hoping with his help that if you ask my wife next year about this time, 6 months, year, is he doing any ballet class? She can say, he's doing a little bit better. And speaking in love language. But I said that because just like people have love languages, God has a love language. Now, all those languages I talked about, God speaks all those.
Amen.
But how do we show God that we love him? First, we need to know, point number one, we need to know God's love language. How do we get to know God's love language? What I want to talk to you about. And you see that where it says, and by this we know we have come to know him, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him. Now, I went back and read that word, the Greek, gnosis, word gnosis. But it's talking about when I had to go to somebody to know a little bit. I know one of them, but I felt like the beginner class. But somebody that's kind of scholar, they said, this particular word means to know someone as you can only know them when you are having an intimate dynamic, vital relationship with them. This is not regular get to know. This is knowing God spiritually like Adam knew Eve physically. This is a deeper knowing that only comes when you have that deep, intimate fellowship with God. And he says, when you know him like that, we will keep his commandments. Let me. It's like, you know, I thought about the further you move from, like I said, like we out at the church tonight, you know, we got like light on the front porch, light out there in the yard, whole light, couple lights around. But if I just, it was at night, and I had no flashlight, no match, no nothing, no cell phone, I wasn't going to use my cell phone for that night. And I walked way back off of that cone, in the back, way back off of that back cone. It ain't really happening, but it would be, number one, it's going to be dark. Anything can happen to you.
Right.
You can step in a hole. Right. Amen. Maybe something out there that's dangerous. You step on a snake. Rolling out there. Wild hogs. All kinds of wild animals. If I'm back there in the dark, I'm in the dark. I'm dead because I can't see back there.
Right.
In order for me to see something, I got to come to the light.
Yes.
Amen. That's why we have lights. Trying to get some more light. Because you want lights, so lights help you to see things. Right. When the Bible talks about being in the light, that means we can see things that we can't see in darkness. It talks about when we are close to God, we can see things. There are some things you can see when you're close to God that you can't see when you're far from God. I'm kind of making it plain. The closer you get to God, the more things you can especially see about God. So, under number one, we had I was talking about A under number one, we had an outline. Listen, it would be in the enlightening experience. The enlightening, you learn something, you get enlightened. The enlightening experience of being in an intimate fellowship with God. When you are close to God, you're going to see something that you ain't never seen.
Yes, right.
When you have an intimate relationship with him. You're going to see something about him. When you have an intimate relationship with God, you look at him. And like never before, you see how beautiful his character is. Wow, God. You're amazing. You know, we say him on these. But when you're really close to him, you look at him, and you come to know him, and you look at his character, wow, he's just amazing. He's so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not only do you say he's amazing, you see how amazing he was, but he's so amazing and so beautiful that you are attracted to his characteristics. You can't see that in the dark. In the dark, you can't see how amazing he is. And since you can't see how amazing he is, what the enemy does is show you how amazing other things are in our world, or how great other things, and you get kind of fascinated with other things.
It's true.
And you suffer from those other things that you're fascinated with before him. Because you never got close enough to see how amazing he is. When you see how amazing he is, your holiness, your character is so amazing. You're so attracted to him. I want to be like that. And you look at yourself, I've got a long way to go.
want to be like that. And I got a long, God, I wish I could be that kind. I wish I could be that forgiving. I wish I could be like you. That's where we get that song. Oh, how I want to be like David. You look at him. Wow. Yo, baby. And you see those, man, you see how great it is. Huh, I want to be like that. That's the light. That's the light I'm talking about. When you see him and you see how beautiful he is, and you're looking at a certain part of his character, oh, I want to be like that. That's that enlightenment. That enlightening experience of being close to him. But not only do you get, once you say, I want to be like him, you know, our God is so good, say, oh, yeah, yeah, I know. No. And I want you to be like me. But in order for you to be like me, not only must you have the enlightening experience, but B, you must have an enabling of your expression. God, I want to be like you. I want to be kind like you. Oh, good. I want you to be kind like me. But you cannot be kind like me in your own strength. I have to give you the strength to be kind like me. And I can give you the strength to be kind like me. Because I gave you the Holy Spirit. And if you allow him, he will enable you to have the same kind of kindness as me. Because you are the branches. And Christ is the vine. And if kindness is the vine, and if the vine trusts in the, if the branches trust in the vine, they can share the same kind of kindness. That's the fellowship that abides, that closes. I'm in him, and he's in me. Whatever he is, I am. So if he's kind, I can be the same. I can have some of that same kind of kindness. The thing that I saw was so beautiful in him that I wanted some of it. He gives me that. If I abide in him, if I have that intimate fellowship with him. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about here. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. Truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him, like a branch in a tree. Whoever said he abides in him, like a branch in a tree, ought to walk the same way which he walked. So just like Jesus was, if you're in him, you ought to be like him. Like he loved, you ought to love. Like he was kind, you ought to be kind. Like he was forgiven, you ought to be forgiven. Amen. He enables you to do that. So, God says, basically to us, if you love me, you know me, you're going to keep my commandments. My love language is you keeping my word and my commandments. Okay, this word. Now, y'all got that? I think y'all got that. His love language is us keeping his word and commandments. Now, I'm going to break that down a little bit more. So, can you kind of know what his love language is? What commandment you talking about? God, what commandment do we have to keep? Are you talking about the 613 commandments that are found in the law? We all think about the Ten Commandments. But if you look at the whole law, if you look at all the victims, there are 613 things that the victims tell us to do. Is that the law? But you know, the love victims can be called love victims. Because in love, because What God is showing us is how to love him and one another. He just breaks it down in small bits. And then I told you, what in the world? He had one talking about putting a, I don't know the word he used for around, because you know back then they had the roosters. They hung out on the roofs of the house. Keep cool, because they didn't have air conditioning. So like in the summer, you hung out on the roof of the house. You came up there, you get y'all on top of the roof. So one of the laws that found in the Bible said when you hang out, if you build a house, you got to put a barrier, like maybe like this barrier right here, around your roof. Why would he put that on there? Because he don't want nobody to fall off. So it's a loving thing. A lot of those laws, you look at, I don't know, why he say that? Why he say do that? It's teaching us how to love one another.
Yeah.
So love, because it really love, because it shows us how about God to teach us how to love him and love one another. Okay? That's the 613 law. Or is he talking about what he told the guy when they asked him about what is the greatest of the commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you know, with your all. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Or is he talking about that new commandment? When he said, I'm giving you a new commandment, John 13:34-35. He said, a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love each other, that as I have loved you, you love one another like that. And by this shall they know you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. So he said, God, which one of the commandments are you talking about? And he said, yes. All of them. Because all of them, if you summarize them, is to love God and then love your neighbor. In loving people. Loving somebody like you love. So God says, I'm going to break it down for you. God says, my love language, the way you show that you love me is in how you love one another.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Not how much money you give.
Amen.
Because you can give one that don't love God at all. You just trying to pay for heaven because you don't want to go to hell. you ain't got enough money to pay for heaven. Amen. He said, no. So we're trying to love God in our language. By doing stuff that we feel like, if I do this, God's going to love. No, God said, well, I want you to show me that you love me is by loving one another. And listen, you got to love one another like I love you. Wow, God, you really know. Ooh, I got to love, you know, I don't mind loving someone like that. You know, people I go to church with, I don't mind. But by two or three, y'all. And by two or three, they get on my leg. Most of them, by 90% of the members, I'm cool with. But it's by two or three.
That's Lord.
They get on my leg. And then, you know what the two or three are saying? Lord, I don't mind most of them, but it's one. She get on my life. So one thing you can love people that like you. It's easy to love somebody that like you. But the more a person is different from you, the more difficult they are to love. So it gets to the point that you can only love them if God gives you the strength. Because love is a sacrifice. God love calls him a sacrifice. That's what the cross is all about. He loved us so much, he sacrificed. I call love is
you giving up so somebody can go up.
You giving up something that maybe you want, something that's special to you, something that's valuable, but you're giving, you love somebody else so much, you're willing to give up so that person can go up.
Wow.
Don't you think Jesus loved me in heaven? Love his relationship with the Father, closeness he had with the Father. But he gave up something that was precious to him so that we could go up.
Yes.
That's sacrificial love. It's to give up so others can go up. That's what he wants us to love one another. When you love somebody, you're seeking. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. Sometimes the feeling involved in, but it's more than a feeling. It's a commitment to that person. It's a daily commitment to seeking their greatest good. So it depends on the person. You can. Some things that might be the greatest good for one person may not be the greatest good for another person. You see what I'm saying? Same parents, struggling, having a difficult time, can't buy groceries. You trying to help out, giving him or her cash to help make ends meet. That may be in a situation high good for that person. Because you gave cash to help. Now, you got a person that's struggling with a drug addiction.
Amen.
Giving them cash may not be their highest good.
Amen.
You may have to, you see them, they're hungry. You may have to go buy them some.
Right.
You still love them.
Right.
But you may not want to give them cash.
Right.
If they get cash, they may still be hungry. They may not realize that they're hungry. Sometimes, loving somebody, that person don't feel like you love them. Because when a parent loves their child, they set boundaries.
It's true. It's true.
And the child may not feel like the boundaries, the rules you set up for the home, the curfew, things that you allow in your house and don't allow, they may feel like you unfair.
Yeah.
They may say you unloving. Sometimes they may say under their breath, hopefully far enough away. That you get on their nerves and you make them sick. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Oh, I wish I had a witness. And then sometimes, when they just absolutely lose their mind, they don't realize who house they're living in, and who buy their clothes, and who put food on the table, they may lash out and say they hate you.
What?
But as a parent, listen, as a parent, it's not your job to keep them from hating you. Because they don't have the maturity and the experience to realize what you're doing is for their highest good. You can't always want to be buddy-buddy. Because they're not for their greatest, their highest good. So you got to sacrifice the little fellowship you had with them. They may not want to talk to you for a while.
That's true.
People are upset. This thing out there, you know, when you ask them about their dating, you know, they used to say, well, you know what, we did, I just had a great time. And she said, and he said that. But all when they're upset with you, it's all right. Because they're upset because you were being a parent. They ought to be thanking God. Oh, God, I'm so glad I got a parent that loves me. They set boundaries. You know what I mean? If you got a little 2-year-old, and that 2-year-old want to run want to go, oh, he having fun. I don't want to keep him having fun. He ain't going to get ran over. You got to baby, don't ride in the street. Don't go in the street. But as soon as you turn your head,
go.
Hey, go in that street. Did I tell you not to go in the street? Now, so you won't get it. Bring him out the street.
Yeah.
Amen. And then you discipline. I ain't gonna say something from y'all. I'm saying to y'all, but you discipline the child with love. Y'all just, I know y'all don't want to. You know why? He didn't want to go to the street again. He didn't even want to go to that street. He didn't even want to get out the front park. He don't get nervous every time he look at that street. Yeah. And he's going to pick him up. Come on, baby, get in the car. He look at that street. Hey, get in the car. We got to go. He look at that street. Do you remember what happened last time? Y'all see what I'm saying? All that you're loving him, but to them it may not seem like. Look, but you see their highest good. You're doing what's for their well-being. Your commitment is to their well-being. Not them liking you. Parody is not about child liking you. They're like leading and not about folk liking you. If you need people to like you, you can't leave them. You can't leave those that you need. You've got to be willing to give them up, to risk losing their fellowship if you're going to correct and lead them. If being pastor meant more to me than your well-being, then I probably wouldn't be a good pastor. But sometimes I'd be a pastor and do things that you just really don't like, and say things you don't really like.
Amen.
Because that would be a pastor for you.
Amen.
I can't lead effectively if I need your approval. You got to do what's greatest good for that person. You got to make sacrifices. You got to give up so they can go up. Love is sacrificial.
Yeah.
It's when you, it's when you think about those love needs in marriage, it's when you know that person is love, thing is quality time, and you got so much to do. And so much to do as your responsibility, and so much you want to do that's not responsible, but you want to. And in order that gives them the quality time that they want, it means you've got to give up something that you want. Something that you'd rather be doing. Sacrifice a little bit. Jesus said, the way you show me that you love me is when you love each other. Now, using that measure, have you told Jesus in his love language how much you love him? Using that. Loving somebody else. That's why I said over there, you know that scripture we've been talking about a long time, I'm talking about a couple times maybe recently, when he said, I was sick and you visited me.
Yeah.
I was hungry and you fed me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thirsty and you gave me drink.
Yeah.
I was in prison and you came to see about me. Because when you love, that's the way I know you love me. I'm going to challenge you this week. Show God image to him by loving us.
Loving others that might be difficult to love.
Speak God's love language to him by loving us like he loved you. See, I perfect my love. I like the way God loves. It's beautiful. I wish I could love like that. He enables you to love like that. And it's when you love like that. It's as you're loving like this, and see you love like that. Oh, she does love me. Oh, she does love me. I can see it in the way she's treating her brothers and sisters, her neighbors, his neighbors. God's love language. The way we speak to God and say, God, I love you, is by loving one another. I don't care how difficult. It sounds like if somebody really difficult, it's a little bit more difficult to love. Oh, Pastor, I'd really just give a good offering. I'd rather give a good offering. I didn't really make the same one. I live with us. What about loving people, especially the ones that stick for love? Those two or three, they say, get on your last nerve. Can you love them to the point that you're focused on their well-being? And even though they may sometimes there's a little friction in the relationship. Listen, I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to fill you up with my love. I'm going to fill you up with this. I'm going to fill you up with my love. I'm going to overflow. I'm going to overflow you with my love. Because you said my prayer, you get overflowed.
Yeah.
And all I want you to do is when you see them coming in and they having a bad day, and they looking a little down, they looking a little sad, they look like they need a word of encouragement. If you can get close enough, because I'm going to feel you overflow. If you get close enough, then some words of encouragement can drop on the day. Some of the joy that I filled you with. Some of the things that I filled you with in my presence. And now you feel so you don't. You can give to people that don't give back to you. It's not going to be a roll up, watch my back, I watch it. No, you got to love people even that you can't get anything else out of. You got to show love for people. One way we like to love folks when we get stuff back. I think that's why I have such a difficult time getting people sometimes. I know people got to work, but sometimes I think, if you like to get more people volunteer than most things, but it's kind of hard to get people to go to the nursing home. Because nursing home doesn't got much to give you. You know, if you speak here, you know, people kind of respond to you. But if, when you speak in the nursing home, sometimes people sleep. Sometimes they don't understand. Difficult, but you got to keep going. You got to keep going. Because they need you. They need you there. They're not, you don't take an offer. You know, we don't take an offer in the nursing home. They don't have an offer. But I know, I'm close, how important it is for us to be there.
Amen.
I remember when Deacon Hoffman was in the nursing home. Bad thing about it, wasn't no church there to come in and minister to him. And he had been in church, you know, he had been in church every Sunday. He loved church. He loved somebody to talk about Jesus, talking about the Lord. But they didn't have the kind of church like the LTC have. They come in where they have old things in the church. But he never really got much church. And when church is, when you the love thing with the people of God and talking to them about God and enjoying God with his people, and all of a sudden there's nobody there for you to enjoy it with. You lose some of your fight. Because ain't nobody there to encourage you. Ain't nobody to tell you about how good he is no more. As long as you have people around your carriage and tell them about how good he is, standing with you, you were able to make it. I don't care how difficult. But now, you're going through all these difficult things, and there's nobody there to remind you about how great God is.
Yes, sir.
Jesus. And I'm trying to say, in here, when we go, whatever we go to, that's why they need that covenant. There's people there that have spent their whole lives in fellowship in God's house with God's people, and they know God, and they just need every once in a while for somebody to come out and lead them in worship. But because it's not something you get a whole lot of stuff back for, you put that up last on our list. I can't sing. Y'all sing, I can't sing. Well, I got that. And I sing, I know you all been saying at least as well as a pastor. I go up there, I told you me, one of the worst ladies ever. Me and Sister Court. Thank God for Sister Corley. I was saying, oh God, this is going to be. But they joined in. Thank God that they joined in. Because, amen. I'm just hoping that it never means what it was. Because I can see. I can just see somebody getting up out of their wheelchair. That's all right. Ain't ready not to go to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this, that's all my challenge. Just spend some time with God. I want to challenge everybody here as I close. Musicians coming. Spend some time with God this week. Can you give God 10 minutes a day? Mm-hmm. Try that this week. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to see how it worked out. Give God 10 minutes so he can fill you in that 10 minutes. Give him more than that, but give him at least 10 minutes so he can fill you so when you go to your job, your school, you can fill up. You can show God love for us. This is going to come now. Listen, we can change it up. We change the invitation thing up just a little bit. We want you during this time as you give us a song. We want to ask everybody that can and we're just able to, without too many of a problem, to stand with us. Everybody just stand on this invitation period, kind of just want us to change. We're kind of making. Because you're saying to that person that might need God, might need to connect with God, or might need to connect with a church and become part of a church, or might they need somebody to connect with them in prayer, you're saying to that person, listen, I know how hard it is for you to stand when everybody else is sitting.
Yeah.
Seeing to make you stick out.
Yeah.
So we're going to stand with you. Yeah. We're not going to let you stand by yourself.
Yeah.
Anybody that needs God, we're standing with you. When you can just come forward as brother and say, I need to connect with God. I need to connect with the church. Would you just go and help me and pray? Amen. We can pray for you. Any of those things. While we stand, and if you know the song, that's just the same. We're going to join for the song. We pray that you would come forward. It's a great time to give your life to God this morning. It's a great time. We pray to add the song and we sing together that you want to speak your love language. We want to be able to love others. We want to be able to love each other. Love our neighbors.